happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hama, and I got a haircut.
Congratulations. I got one a couple of weeks ago. I'm Ann Northrup. Hi.
So, lots of news, you know, this week. Some LGBTQ groups are pushing for an LGBTQ black woman as Biden's Supreme Court pick, but we're going to look at their suggestions and the top likely picks.
The U.S. is withholding aid to Egypt over its human rights abuses, including against LGBTQ people.
Big news just today. USA Swimming, which is the governing body for the sport, has changed its rules for transgender girls and women.
Yeah, probably not good news. Well, mixed, I would say. South Dakota's legislature has passed a couple of bad bills, but Virginia has beaten back a couple.
We mourn the loss of an out gay mayor in Maryland and an underground gay filmmaker.
And a Missouri idiot dad who railed against LGBTQ books in schools has been arrested for child molestation. I guess idiot is too good a word for him.
Transgender inmates who were abused in Florida and Pennsylvania are suing about it.
And we will pay tribute to the remarkable contribution of Amy Schneider, the number two all-time length of one games on Jeopardy.
Yeah, if we'd like to get her on the show, we now have to call CAA. That's her new agent.
Good for her. Good for her.
Iran has executed two more men for sodomy.
And another drug-resistant sexually transmitted infection has been named as something to watch out for.
And the Olympics are getting underway, the Winter Olympics, with LGBTQ athletes.
In Beijing. Will they ever get out of Beijing?
Let's start with the Supreme Court. You know, I've been reading about all these black women who are up for consideration, and it's extremely impressive, including on our issues for a lot of these people. There's, you know, some of the court picks. You may want to leave this up. Should we leave this up while we talk about them?
For a second, yeah.
Well, you know, look, I mean, starting off with Ketanji Brown Jackson there, 51 years old. She's at the U.S. District Court of Appeals. She's the one who ordered Trump's counsel to comply with a House subpoena. Presidents are not kings. And then we have Leandra Kruger there, 45 years old, from the Supreme Court of California. She keynoted the LGBT Law Association's awards recently. Then you've got Sherilyn Ifill, who I love. I've known her from the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. She is a passionate supporter of LGBTQ rights, regularly standing up on LGBTQ and AIDS issues, including marriage equality. And I think she helped move the NAACP on those issues.
She's a Vassar graduate. What would you expect?
And then there's Candace Jackson Akinwumi, 43, former federal defender, which is great. Now a U.S. Court of Appeals judge out of Illinois. And then you've got Michelle Childs. This is the one that Lindsey Graham wants. So I was a little suspicious, but in 2014, she's down there in South Carolina. She ordered that a same-sex marriage from elsewhere had to be recognized in South Carolina. So good for her. And then we have Holly Thomas, 43, U.S. Court of Appeals from the Ninth Circuit out there in the West. She ran fair housing programs for California. She worked at the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. And in New York, she advocated for letting trans people use restrooms according to their gender identity. So lots of good possible picks there.
Look, there is a bounty of qualified, admirable candidates. And there is nothing more frustrating than to hear Ted Cruz go on the air and say, well, black women are only what, like 6-7% of the population. So you're cutting out 97% of the.
Oh, please, please. It's insane. It's insane. You know, look, which is why, you know, people say it's pie in the sky, which is why we need a much broader core to represent the breadth of this nation. You know, in India, they have 31 Supreme Court justices. We could change the number just by Congress passing an amendment to the Judiciary Act. It doesn't require constitutional amendment. The only thing the Constitution sticks us with is that we're stuck with these people for the rest of their lives if they want to stay on.
Well, we could change that, too.
Constitution changes are harder.
Certainly. But, yes, we could change we could change the whole gestalt of the court and take it out of this wrenching process of we have these nine and which one will do this and which one will do that.
And the Congress can also proscribe what the court can and cannot do. You know,
can they?
Yes, they can. They can say, you hear these things. No, yeah, absolutely. Congress says,
wouldn't that be unconstitutional?
You're thinking of Marbury versus Madison.
I certainly am.
But there are things that the Congress can do about what the courts can handle and what they can't. There are.
I would like a more detailed discussion of that before I jump on that train.
Well, okay. All right.
But that's then, the separation of powers and the whole business.
Yeah. Then some LGBTQ groups are saying, hey, you know, it's about time we had an out LGBTQ person. And they suggested at least two black women who are LGBTQ. And they are. Let's put their pictures up. We've got. Let's see. And this includes the Victory Institute and the National Black Justice Coalition. There is on the – I want to get it right. On the left is G. Helen Whitener, an associate judge of the Washington State Supreme Court. And then on the right is Stacey Michelle Yandel of the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Illinois. Now, these group, the National Black Justice Coalition, also supports Childs, who is not LGBTQ that we know of.
And the strike against these two women is going to be that they're not on a federal appeals court or higher. They are, you know, one's on the low level federal court of a district court, and the other's on a state court.
And you don't even have to have been a judge. Kagan wasn't a judge when she was picked. She was a law professor.
Right.
We've had people from Congress. Some people have suggested, the vice president of the United States could be put on the court, and she could.
Please, no.
Well, I'm just saying, everything is a possibility.
Karen Bass. I want Karen Bass on the Supreme Court.
That would be great.
Yes, or Barbara Lee. Did you
see that? We've had people directly from Congress before, some of the great ones.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'm glad they're putting out names of black LGBTQ women, and let's at least get them in the conversation. Now, the other big news today is that USA Swimming, which is the governing body of swimming in the United States, has changed its rules on guidelines for testosterone limits for women swimmers. Now, we know that the NCAA a week or two ago decided that they were no longer going to be the overall governing body for these issues. They were going to throw it to each sport to make their own rules. And because Leah Thomas at the University of Pennsylvania has been in the news for as a trans woman who's breaking all women's swimming records, swimming for the University of Pennsylvania, this has been the hot issue. So the USA Swimming has made a sort of bifurcated decision. And what they have said is that for elite swimmers and Olympic swimmers, they must have no more than 5 nanomoles of testosterone. The old standard was 10 nanomoles of testosterone. Don't ask me how much each of those is, but clearly one is half of the other. And that they must have maintained this level over the past 36 months, whereas the old standard said you had to maintain the 10 level over 12 months. So now we don't know what Leah Thomas's actual level is, but she is potentially really screwed out of the swimming championships coming up in March, because she has been playing by the rules all along, but that may not be good enough to meet the new standard. So
well, the other part of the standard is a three-person panel of what they're calling independent medical experts are going to determine whether the swimmer's prior physical development as a man gives the athlete a competitive advantage over cisgender female competitors. So that's
aside from the testosterone level.
Right, exactly. And, you know, what else?
So they reserve the right to just stop anyone.
This is for the elite level, for the non-elite level, and this is for ages 13 and up. For the non-elite level, the USA Swimming is saying people can compete according to their gender identity or expression.
Because they want diversity in the sport, but not if you're too good at too high a level. Now, the NCAA has yet to officially adopt this new standard for their competitions, but they're going to do that momentarily and certainly in time for the March championships. And then the University of Pennsylvania may have to sue on behalf of Leah Thomas if she is, in fact, barred from competing at those championships.
And she is getting a lot of support from her teammates, a swimmer named and also from a swimmer named Brooke Ford, who's an Olympian, who says she has no problem racing against a trans swimmer, Leah Thomas, who was called out by Trump this week, by the way. Ford said, "I believe treating people with dignity and respect is more important than any trophy or record will ever be." So good for her.
And she and Brooke will compete at the March championships and has no problem.
Silver medal in Tokyo.
Yes. And the women's swimming team at the University of Pennsylvania also came out with a statement in support of Leah and said, you know, we totally are behind her and we want her to be able to compete.
Now, the larger issue here is what is the effect of all this controversy going to be on the Equality Act? And there are clearly rumblings in major organizations, people talking to reporters anonymously saying, we may have to give in on this, on not protecting trans girls in sports. Seriously. This is the kind of talk that's going on. Nobody will put their name on it. Or officially, the organizations won't say anything. But I know some of the people who are making these rumblings who have spoken off the record. And it is very, very disturbing.
It is. And it's headed for division and stigma and discrimination. Not appealing.
Well, but what is more appealing is that, and I was like, sort of surprised to read this because it's a bad world. The U.S. is holding back $130 million in aid to Egypt over their human rights abuses, which are profound, including LGBTQ people who have been targeted for violence by the security forces in Egypt, but also abuse of journalists, political prisoners, and more.
Well, I don't think that's new, but that kind of violence and attack, but we certainly haven't heard about it terribly recently. So it's nice to know we're doing something about it or trying to. All right. Well, we hope that one of our new warriors will be Melanie Willingham Jaggers, who is the new executive director of GLSEN, Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network. They have been the interim executive director after being the deputy executive director and are now assuming the full role as officially as executive director following many years of Eliza Byard running the organization, which was founded by Kevin Jennings. Melanie was previously at the Cornell Workers Institute and was the board chair of the Audre Lorde Project for a while.
Right. Now, Glisson, for those of you not following, works to make K through 12 education safe and affirming for all students, especially LGBTQ youth. And this is a group that you can hook up with in your locality if you want to work on these kinds of issues in the schools. And they are certainly under assault. And by the way, we're going to try to have Melanie in as a guest in about 3 weeks.
Correct. And what we've heard this week is more, you know, Polk County, Florida, 16 books quarantined for review. The conservatives are charging that they violate the law against obscene and harmful books for kids. They are, of course, books with black themes, LGBTQ themes, and that makes them automatically harmful to kids. In Kent, Washington, a middle school principal has removed LGBTQ books from the shelves. Again, this is on the basis of just one or two complaints. This is happening in Texas, in Mississippi, all over. It's growing. This is such a godsend to the Republican Party.
This issue has been around forever. LGBTQ books are at the top of the list for decades in terms of banning them from libraries, controversies, banned books, all that kind of.
Yeah.
Look at the Tennessee, McMinn County that banned Mouse, M-A-U-S, which is a graphic novel about the Holocaust by Art Spiegelman. This guy stands up at the board and says, it shows people being hanged. And it shows kids being killed. You know what? So does the Holy Bible. The slaughter of the innocents, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. What are you talking about? And if you're talking about sex, the Bible is replete with it. So let's ban that.
Well, people showed up with the Bible and said, what about this? And were just laughed out of the room. So I don't know how far we get with that argument. Do we want to take a detour to the Whoopi Goldberg controversy over that or leave that alone?
No, you can. I mean, if you want.
Well, look, I saw her say that about the Holocaust not being about race, and I was just horrified. And I am extremely glad that she was called on it and had to apologize. I'm not sure 2 weeks off the air is necessary, but I'm certainly glad that that was not allowed to stand. I don't appreciate the way she insists on her point of view and is not collaborative in having a conversation with her co-host. She just says, no, I'm right. You're wrong. That's it. And that's the part of it.
I think she's tired. I think she's tired of doing the show. I think it's, you know, people are talking about getting a Jewish panelist. I think we should also.
Well, the head of the ADL was talking about getting a
Jewish panelist.
I looked at the list. Barbara Walters, of course, who's Jewish, started the show and was on it for many years. But I have to say, I cannot. I looked at the list of the co-hosts over the years and I couldn't.
And there's never been a lesbian panelist, has there?
Well, Rosie O'Donnell and Raven Simone, and there have been lesbians around, but I don't think there has been another Jewish panelist.
Okay. Anyway, moving on. Oh, okay. Oh, by the way, there was a comic book store in California that will mail a copy of Mouse to anybody in that town, in that county in Tennessee that wants one, up to 100.
And it's a bestseller on Amazon now.
It's a good way to get your book banned and sell a lot of books.
Well, that's an old strategy.
Speaking of being banned, Andrew Cuomo, who we've talked about, who resigned in disgrace, he has avoided a fifth and final prosecution for criminal charges not being filed against him over sexual harassment. Of course, he's trying to act like he's totally vindicated now, but that doesn't mean he didn't do a lot of these things. They just didn't have.
And meanwhile, Jeff Zucker is out of CNN because he had a consensual relationship with a coworker.
All right.
I have mixed feelings about that, too.
South Dakota, the House has joined in banning trans girls and women from school sports, 50 to 17. It will be enthusiastically signed by Governor Kristi Noem. Her spokesperson compared trans girls in sports to terrorism. You have to stop it over there so it doesn't come here. They're also trying to pass a bill banning the use of showers, restrooms, and changing rooms by anyone other than those whose birth gender corresponds. The ACLU says this will violate, of course, Title IX.
Well, the House passed that law in South Dakota. It now goes to the Senate and then to the governor if it passes the Senate. We have no reason to believe it won't pass the Senate, but right. We'll see. We'll certainly follow that. And in Michigan, the state has reached a settlement with a Catholic adoption agency. The courts there overturned a previous agreement saying that they had to pay attention to the Supreme Court Philadelphia ruling, but the Philadelphia ruling was just a technical ruling that didn't say the Catholic agency had a right to discriminate. It said that because the contract the city had written had some loopholes, they couldn't enforce it the way they wanted to. This is a misreading of the Supreme Court decision, and we'll see whether it stands. Well, it's a settlement, so I guess it's going to stand, and the Catholic Adoption Agency in Michigan will be allowed to discriminate against same-sex couples and LGBTQ parents.
Better news in Virginia, where the Senate, which has a 21-19 Democratic majority, they killed two anti-LGBTQ bills. One would have eliminated the requirement that school districts must implement the State Department of Education's guidelines on trans and non-binary students. And the other was a bill to let people discriminate in housing based on their religious beliefs.
Yeah. All right. Sad news from Hyattsville, Maryland.
Oh, God, yes.
Out gay mayor Kevin Ward, 44 years old, has died by suicide or presumed suicide. He leaves a husband and two sons. He was a very popular guy locally. And it's just a sad and completely surprising and unexpected loss.
He's a very progressive guy. He made his town a sanctuary city. He also worked at a technology consultant in education and family services. This is largely a black suburb of 21,000 people just outside of Washington, D.C.
Rich, do you have that picture of Kevin Ward? Maybe, I don't know if you can get that up. All right, we will continue on.
All right. Well, we're also talking about underground film director James Bigwood, who has died at the age of 88.
Bidgood.
Apologize. Excuse me. Good friend of our friend Jackie Rudin's. He is most famous for the gay erotic film Pink Narcissus, an underground film, there's a still from it, released in 1971, that he shot over 7 years in his village studio apartment, tiny apartment. He didn't even claim ownership of directing of it until 1998. He was an inspiration to numerous artists and photographers right up to Lil Nas X. He was also a costume designer, a photographer, and a legendary drag queen.
Yeah, and in the 60s and 70s, he shot photos for, Physique magazines, Muscle Boy and Young Physique. But he was famous for making those photos, like the photos you just saw, more artistic and not just sort of blatantly porn.
Check out our email this week. If you're on our email list, you can get on our email list by going to gayusatv.org and signing up, and we give you extras, and we'll have some extras about him.
And another loss this week was of a straight man, Dr. Alan Stone, who was the head of the American Psychiatric Association for a while. He was quite the iconoclast who was involved in any number of issues and took very progressive, radical points of view that...
Well, he went after psychiatrists who used to testify and say how abortion harmed women mentally and as a justification for anti-abortion laws.
And he did some anti-war stuff. But the New York Times obituary of him credits him with leading the change in the definition of homosexuality at the American Psychiatric Association in 1979.
Well, after he became president in 79. And the only thing I can, of course, that was done in 1973 by a lot of brave people. I don't know if this doctor was involved in that or not. But I mean, there was an evolution on the position after they immediately removed it from the Index of Mental Disorders. They made refinements to it. That may have been the case, but he was not the president of the association when it happened.
But now the New York Times story is the only thing you get when you Google him, and thus history is distorted, and all those great activists in 1973 are made invisible.
I have written to the Times, to the guy who wrote the story, asking for a correction. Then we have sad news from Albuquerque, New Mexico. A 31-year-old trans woman killed on December 31st has been identified as Nikki Turrieta. She was shot to death in the city where she grew up, the 53rd such killing in 2021. Police initially believed she died of an overdose, but it took an autopsy to find a gunshot wound under her hair. This is like appalling.
Extremely. And then there are several stories about transgender men and women abused in custody in jails and prisons. Three of them in Miami-Dade County, two trans women, one trans man, who were horrendously abused after being arrested as peaceful demonstrators in 2020, are now suing the county for the violence they experienced.
One of them was Christian Paladin. We have a picture.
Yeah, there
and, is. And the things that they underwent in the prison, they were illegally strip searched, called it hermaphrodite, woman with a dick, physically hurt by these guards and required to wear clothing associated with the wrong gender. So they filed this in U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Florida, and they seek not just, you know, damages and things, but an overhaul of how trans inmates are treated.
Well, often there are settlements reached that mandate training and different rules. I have very little confidence often that that is followed up on correctly.
And then in Pennsylvania, in Dauphin County Prison, a 27-year-old black trans woman, Ms. Henderson is how the person was identified, is suing over horrific abuse at the hands of multiple prison officers and inmates when thrown in with 50 men. An inmate tried to assault her, and an officer said, "Look, faggot, do not disturb my population. Shut your effing mouth or I'll spray you." Caught on video, and they're denying it. Caught on video. She was maced, pulled out by her hair, sent to a cell with no toilet. I mean,
it's horrible. Now, we told you a few months ago about the trans and female inmates at Rikers Island in New York City who were being transferred upstate, supposedly to, you know, free them from horrible treatment at Rikers. Well, except that those units at Rikers are in better shape than the male units. Well, those trans women and other female inmates are being transferred back to Rikers now, which their lawyers and their families like because it brings them closer for court appearances, consultations with lawyers, meetings with families. So, you know, Rikers is no good for anyone, but at least they're a little closer to home.
Right. Let's go to Missouri. In North Kansas City School District, a 29-year-old parent who advocated banning LGBTQ-themed books, including Fun Home by our friend Allison Bechtel.
Yeah, there you see his assistant holding up panels from Fun Home.
Has been accused of molesting a 12-year-old child in 2020. Ryan Utterback allegedly stuck his finger in the child's pants and began rubbing their leg. He is also charged with showing sexual videos to a four-year-old.
All right. In Sparta, New Jersey, at the United Methodist Church, vandals grabbed a rainbow flag outside and burned it. And there are the remains of that. Previous rainbow flags have been attacked, ripped down, torn up. But the church keeps erecting new ones and will continue to do so, and has gotten enough support and donations to be able to have quite a store of rainbow flags. So to the Sparta, New Jersey vandals, you're not going to get rid of them.
In New York, some momentum is building for our friend Alan Roscoff. He's the head of the Jim Ellis Liberal Democratic Club. If you want to run for office and you want to be endorsed by them, you've got to be in favor of getting Ed Koch's name off the Queensboro Bridge. There it is being dedicated. This was a project of Chris Quinn's. She's over there on the right, and Mayor Bloomberg, because she wanted his endorsement when she ran for mayor. Well, I mean, Ed Koch has been, of course, I think people are very well aware of his horrible record on AIDS and the fact that he was a sexual predator while he was mayor. These kinds of things. So more and more people are signing on to this.
Oh, Andy, if we took the names of all sexual predators off all bridges and buildings, where would we be?
We wouldn't be able to get across the river.
All right.
Who is Brooklyn named for?
Beats me, or Kings County. That's where what it is.
Right.
All right. In nicer news, let's pay tribute to Amy Schneider, who did us all proud in her very long run on Jeopardy. She is on the left, and on the right is the guy who beat her.
The gay guy.
Gay librarian with neon glasses. Amy won 40 games in a row on Jeopardy, making her the second longest winning streak in history on Jeopardy. She beat everyone but Ken Jennings, who's almost untouchable at 74 games.
Never know. But she won $1,384,000. And she's even being given a GLAAD award because she's been on television so long. And, you know, she said only a few months ago she did not believe deep down that she could ever be accepted for who she was. And as the show is about to air, she braced for rejection, but she says it didn't happen other than from the predictable right wingers. And that helped her accept herself more. And she pays tribute to all the trans people who have come before her. It's a beautiful tribute. We're going to include it in our email. It was on the Jeopardy website, this whole tribute. We will link to it.
She also said she was a little relieved to be away from the stress of maintaining this streak. I hadn't realized, or maybe I knew, but I hadn't thought about the fact that they tape 5 shows a day when they have a taping day. So even, you know, people talked about her being experienced and having been adept at the timing of the buzzer and all of that. But if you're on your 4th or 5th show a day and fresh contestants are coming in to compete against you, that is not easy. So she really held up for a very long time. She will, of course, be in the Tournament of Champions this fall. She is even being asked by fans, not the show, whether she would be interested in hosting the show. And she said, well, if they ask me, but that's not anything official.
Yeah. I mean, look, we tape one show a week here and it wears me out. But we also do everything. We write everything. We have people who send us stories and we appreciate that, all that. But we write everything ourselves.
Or memorize it. Also, I noticed that Tim Miller the other day on MSNBC was no longer had a visible pearl necklace. I don't know if it was still there, and I just happened to catch him on a day when it wasn't visible because he was buttoned up too high. But I like to think that that was his tribute to Amy Schneider, and after she lost, he stopped wearing it. I don't know.
Okay. Question. Do we really need another movie about a gay serial killer? Jeffrey Dahmer, who ate parts of his victims, notoriously. Well, Ryan Murphy is doing a 10-part series on him called Monster for Netflix. By the way, GLAAD dropped Netflix from its corporate equality index over its transphobic...
HRC.
Thanks for the correction. HRC. They dropped from their equality index because of the transphobic Dave Chappelle series. This might be another reason. The story is going to be told from Dahmer's point of view. Evan Peters, who played Tate Langdon in American Horror Story, another Ryan Murphy thing, in 2011, is in it. Michael Learned, the mom on The Waltons, is going to play Jeffrey's grandmother.
Oh, my God. But there have been other Dahmer movies, but I guess you haven't seen anything until you've seen Ryan Murphy's version of it.
And then there was Sean Penn this week. Now, he won an Oscar for playing Harvey Milk, but he gave an interview saying he believes that men in American culture, quote, have become wildly feminized. He says, being a brute has nothing to do with masculinity, but I don't think that to be fair to women, we should become them. He went on, and I won't, other than to say, all boys aren't blue, which is the book, of course, that is by
Sean, who cares? All right. Let's move on to international.
Yeah.
All right. So the story now is that Iran has hung two gay men. They were arrested 6 years ago, and one viewer warned me to take this with a grain of salt, but that is the story that's being put out. And the other claim is that over the last 40 years, they have executed 4,000 to 6,000 gay men and lesbians.
Peter Tatchell, our activist friend who does a lot of worldwide human rights stuff, says Iran is one of more than a dozen Muslim nations that enforce Sharia law and execute gays. And he's calling for Magnitsky sanctions on the regime officers, judges, and the prison staff who authorize the executions.
Okay. I'm too cynical to believe that the world is going to stand up and do that, but I welcome that if they are willing to.
Well, I mean, you know, they used to execute people in this country. The death penalty was there for sodomy in the late 1700s. And in the early 1800s in Britain, they were still executing men, I believe, into the 1830s.
And in Afghanistan, Human Rights Watch says that an outright action international say that attacks on LGBTQ people by the Taliban are escalating by the Taliban, by people's families and friends and partners, that LGBTQ people are experiencing mob attacks, gang rapes. It's not good. But in Mexico, they have arrested two people for the murder of the lesbian couple. A man and woman, ages 24 and 25, have been arrested for the murder.
Good.
We'll watch to see where that
is. Baja California in Mexico, they passed a law on gender identity protecting trans folks, 19 to 5. It's the 18th state in Mexico to do so. All right, let's go back to England. Prince Andrew is seeking to call Kevin Spacey as a character witness in the lawsuit alleging that he sexually assaulted Virginia Guffrey, who says she was forced to have sex with him three times when she was 17. In order to distance himself from the convicted sex trafficker Ghislaine Maxwell, his lawyers are saying that he didn't invite Maxwell to Buckingham Palace. He invited Kevin Spacey, who brought Maxwell as his guest. You know, there's and we have this picture of them on the thrones. Andrew actually thinks this is going to help his case. Spacey has been accused by more than 20 men of sexual harassment. It's just, it's unbelievable. I mean, don't they read the papers?
Surrealism in everyday life. So I'd like to say that we'll go to happier news with the Olympics, but I'm so wary of Beijing and its terrible, terrible human rights record, and increasingly bad, that the idea of watching the Olympics in Beijing is just stomach turning.
They're cracking down on dissidents right now.
Exactly. Certainly. It's like the Republicans moving demonstrators out of New York City when the Republican convention came to town.
I had the exact same thought. That was a Mike Bloomberg operation.
Yes, it was.
Round everybody up and put them in pens, whether they did anything or not, so that we don't have any trouble while my Republicans are here. Will that cost the city tens of millions of dollars?
But they didn't. We go demonstrate, and then we have to pay for it.
He should be fined.
So the Olympics are from this weekend for 2 weeks through February 20th. There are at least 33 identified out LGBTQ athletes from around the world. I suspect more will show up, although since it's Beijing, they may be a little quieter than the... How many were at the Summer Olympics? Like well over 100.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right. Well, before we leave and go, we do have a picture on that, but can we talk about Uganda?
No. We have more on the Olympics first. First, we have the dating skeleton sliders who are competing against each other. Nicole Silveira on the left, 27, is from Brazil, and her girlfriend Kim Mielmans, 25, from Belgium. And they're not allowed to room together because of COVID regulations. Then Grindr has been deleted from the Chinese Apple App Store. And there are big questions about whether LGBTQ athletes will have free expression at the games. You know, one of the great features of the Summer Games was how out people were and how open and how they could talk openly about their relationship and their experiences and everything. And I don't think we're going to see a lot of that in Beijing, which I find disturbing.
All right. Going back a little bit, in Brisbane, Australia, a teacher at a Christian K-12 school resigned and pulled her son out after being asked to sign a contract condemning homosexuality and comparing it to bestiality and pedophilia. You also had to refuse to acknowledge gender identities other than that assigned at birth. It doesn't sound very Christian. 80,000 people have signed a petition calling on this school to amend the contract.
And hallelujah to her for doing that.
In Uganda, the former ethics and integrity minister, who in 2019 championed a bill called the Kill the Gays Bill, death penalty for homosexuality, Simon Lokota, died. He was 64. He had been a Catholic priest, but was excommunicated by Pope Benedict, not for this, but for running for office, for entering politics. Stephen Fry interviewed this guy in 2014, and Lokota said, well, men raping girls, that's natural. After that aired, Lokota tried to take his own life, but at his death, he was serving for the country as a human rights commissioner.
I saw that a couple more Catholic priests have been kicked out of their jobs for child molestation. Current stories. You'd think with all the publicity and all the apologies that we'd be able to diminish that, but it's still happening.
And then in Honduras, an arrest was made in the January 10th murder of trans activist Talia Rodriguez, 58, in front of her home. Police arrested a suspected gang member, who they say 28 years old, from MS-13. There was a warrant issued for this guy's arrest in June on weapons charges, but they didn't round him up.
Okay, moving on.
AIDS news.
Yeah. Well, Moderna, our new heroes for the COVID vaccines, has begun a trial in human beings of a similar mRNA vaccine for HIV, a vaccine and booster, in fact, they are testing. Now, I'm not clear whether this is a preventive vaccine or a therapeutic vaccine. But they're beginning tests, phase one tests for safety and efficacy. They are enrolling just 56 HIV negative people at George Washington University in D.C. and at other facilities in Atlanta, Seattle, and San Antonio. I don't believe they've fully enrolled the trials. I could be out of date on that. But if you're eager to get in the trials, I would go to Moderna and check with them.
Now, this isn't Keytruda, right?
No.
That's another one. That it's a cancer drug that's being looked at as going after HIV in its reservoirs, where it's hiding.
Yes. The idea is that Keytruda would force the latent HIV out of its hiding places, so it could then be eliminated by your immune system. Because the drugs that people take to become undetectable and uncommunicable are keeping virus in that latent state.
Right.
But ideally, if you could get rid of it all in people's bodies, then they wouldn't have to take any drugs.
In worse news, in the United Kingdom, gay and bisexual men are being warned about the rise of drug-resistant STI Shigella, a gut infection that can cause diarrhea, stomach cramps, rectal cramps, bloody stool, dehydration, and fever. Some patients need to be hospitalized. They've seen 47 cases since September, and there had only been 16 in the previous 17 months. It spread through anal and oral sex and rimming. So doctors are saying avoid oral immediately after anal sex and change condoms between anal and oral sex. And wash your hands. Always good advice. And the Insurance Commissioner of California is urging the FDA to end the ban on gay blood.
Again, a constant controversy. All right, entertainment news. Well, first, for those who... Are you going to go see the new version of Take Me Out on Broadway, the play about the gay
band? I saw it originally. I thought it was Richard Greenberg's best play. I will say that.
Agreed. I agree.
Do I need to see it again? I don't know. I mean, because I'm reluctant to go to theaters. But
yes,
maybe that will change now that Omicron is abating. Lots of my friends are going to the theater now.
Well, I'm excited because Killing Eve reappears on February 27th. And the final season, the fourth, and is being advertised as a more personal and emotional one. It's been so personal and emotional for the first three seasons, one can only imagine where they're going. And My Brilliant Friend, my favorite Italian series, comes back to HBO for its third season on February 28th.
Rachel Maddow is going away. She's taking a hiatus from MSNBC till April. She's working on a new podcast and a movie made out of her book on Nixon's disgraced vice president, Spiro Agnew. She said, change is terrifying, but good. She may pop in for special events like the State of the Union.
I don't think she has anything to be terrified about. Come on.
Not when you're making that kind of money.
She's making huge money, and she gets to do exactly what she wants to do. What's so terrifying? That if she leaves television for a couple of months, she's going to melt like the Wicked Witch of the West or something?
Well, all right.
I don't know. And this week saw the last episode of And Just Like That on HBO Max.
I didn't see the last one, so go ahead.
No, it drops tomorrow as we're taping. I haven't seen it either. But just in case you're having withdrawal pangs, they're going to air And Just Like That, the documentary, as if you want to see all the behind-the-scenes stuff. And they have not yet decided whether to do a season two.
I saw the trailer for this documentary, and it basically proves that it looks like it was a lot more fun to make the show than to watch it.
Well, I want to thank the viewers who have thanked me for recommending Dairy Girls, which I still think is like the best thing I've seen in years. It is so hilarious and so well done. And if you haven't seen that, you still should seek that out on Netflix. Derry, Dairy Girls, Londonderry. It's an abbreviation of it, and takes place in Northern Ireland. But it is a sitcom about Belfast. I haven't seen the movie Belfast, but I can't believe it's anywhere near as good as this.
I think it's good. It's nothing like Derry Girls. It's not as funny, but it's good. And it's really up there for the SAG-AFTRA Awards and things like that.
And it's expected to be for the Oscars, too. And one viewer who thanked me for recommending Derry Girls then recommended to me something called London Irish by the same woman who made Derry Girls. It's available free on IMDb TV, so I can't wait to plunge into that. He said he was laughing so hard at one point he was choking. He thought he was going to just expire. And I still recommend Sex Education and Sex Lives of College Girls, both excellent, excellent series.
And I'll bet we'll get a lot more recommendations from my co-host next week, who will be Rob Shooter of NaughtyGossip.com. And also, we'll be taping the day of the announcement of the Oscar nominations.
Oh, how perfect. And then we stumbled into that, didn't we?
And in two weeks, Dawn Ennis, the journalist, is going to be co-hosting, and then Anne will be back on the 23rd.
It's true. I am not absconding entirely, but I will be gone for the next 2 weeks, and I'm very, very, very grateful to Rob and Dawn, who will be making her debut appearance here, but is a veteran journalist and in both print and on air, and I think she'll do a great job, and so thrilled that they can sit in.
A couple of weddings to tell you about. I read these in the Times. Brian Terrell Clark, 41, who played George Washington in Hamilton. That's him in the center with the hat on. He married costume designer DeVario Simmons, 31, on New Year's Day in Arcadia, California. Simmons designed those tuxedos. Clark said he knew from day one he would marry Simmons. Clark said it took a while to bring his mom around on the gay stuff. She's a Sunday school teacher. He said it took until the wedding to bring her around. He also starred as Marvin Gaye in Motown, the musical. The men went on lockdown together in March 2020 after only having dated for a few months, which was a big risk, but it worked out.
Well, you mentioned they got married in Arcadia, California, but you didn't mention where they got married in Arcadia, California. Santa Anita Park. Now, continuing that theme, our other married couple got married at Dodger Stadium.
Yes, that's Eric Braverman there on the right. He is a senior vice president for the team. He's 51. And Jonathan Cottrell, 31, a software engineer who's also worked as a model. The romance was accelerated by the pandemic. They got engaged after 6 months of intense dating. Braverman got great support from the Dodgers after coming out, and his boss said he'd be happy to host the wedding in the stadium.
It really allows you to expand your thinking about wedding venues as you see a horse race track and a baseball stadium as sites for these weddings. If I were in the mood to get married, I would be wanting to think in those creative ways about where to do it. We also, Bill Ballman, our associate producer and resident music expert, wants us to alert everyone to the fact that the band Erasure, with out gay and out HIV positive Andy, I'm going to forget his last name, and his straight partner Vince, have canceled their Neon tour. They put out a statement that just said they had unexpected family circumstances. They had this worldwide tour planned, including in the U.S., but around the world, and that has been canceled. No Erasure, if you were waiting for that.
I skipped over the fact that a zoo in Syracuse says same-sex male Humboldt penguins adopted an egg in breeding season and are now the new parents of a fuzzy-haired chick born to Elmer and Lima. This is nature.
Well, we're late on that story because it was already done on the 11th hour on MSNBC. They ended the show one day this week.
They know who's watching. days.
Well, it's just another sign that no one needs us anymore because mainstream news is now covering gay penguins.
Well, they're giving the 11th hour to Stephanie Ruhle.
Now, I like Stephanie Ruhle, but I'm not sure that's the right spot for her.
So, she's more of a finance person, right?
Yes, but she's a good, lively person on TV, which I like, and smart, but we'll see. I wish her the best.
Valley Velshi.
They're also, well, I like him, but I don't really want to watch him for an hour at 11 p.m. I like to sort of watch hate Brian Williams. and they're giving another hour to Mika and Joe in the morning. They're going to be doing a four-hour show. I am not down for that.
They offered Brian Williams the CBS Evening News.
Well, of course they did. What'd you expect?
And he turned it down.
Yes, he did, because he doesn't want to hear about those phony helicopter stories anymore.
Now, the most chilling thing I saw this week, I left C-SPAN on when I was watching something else, and who pops up? Governor Ron DeSantis at something called the Common Sense Council. Now, anybody says common sense, hold on to your wallet.
Well, they do a lot better branding than our people do.
Common sense, it's jerky. But anyway, he was absolutely chilling, and he was very clear about what he's doing. And he's got a message, and if they can get Trump out of the way, he could very well be, of course, the Republican nominee. And he is a monster.
And Trump is being very chilling these days, coming right out saying, I wanted to overturn the election. I tried this. I tried that.
There were very fine people on both sides of the insurrection. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I mean, it's just insane.
It is insane.
We tremble for the Republic, as a lot of people do, but we're not controlling the levers of power, folks. Republicans are.
Well, it's the same complaint I always have, that the Republicans are willing to be ruthless in using whatever power they can manufacture, and we just give away power on a daily basis.
When Mitch McConnell got up on the floor of the Senate and said, here's Joe Biden coming in with his radicals for the court after promising to bring the country together and be a moderate. Are you kidding? I mean, you have moved the court so far to the right, I can't see it anymore.
But that's it. But that's why I say they're good at branding, because the people who they are appealing to are not aware of the lies they're telling or their hypocrisy or their overt manipulations. They just buy it.
Are going to have to expand the viewership of Gay USA so we can educate more people.
Well, a friend of mine told me the other day that she had Gay USA had come up in one of her dreams. And I said to her, man, that's a distribution system I hadn't considered. How are we going to do that for everybody? Get it in everybody's dreams.
Well, we're almost out of time. We really appreciate your spending your time with us.
I will see you in 3 weeks, but Andy will see you next week.
With Rob Shooter.